could even watch it in VR or so. So let's have a look at how that algorithm can be implemented. So the basic setting is you've got some virtual viewing position, and you've got an image plane. And then you've got this data. Here in this specific case, it is an MRI or a CT data set. So you've got stacked images that you'd like to display, which that way form a uniform grid. And what you want to do is you want to project that data to the image plane. So what do? You shoot primary rays. You shoot not only one ray, but you shoot lots of rays. That is for each pixel of the image plane. And in this very specific case, what you now do is you intersect each primary ray with the bounding box of the data set, see if it intersects. If it doesn't, just fine. Then you assign a background color or do something simple. And if it does, what you do is, in this specific case, you perform a ray marching algorithm to do piecewise integration and eventually determine the color for that pixel. Okay. So, different setting. Similar type of algorithm. This is a walkthrough through an archaeological data set, and the scientist wants to... I recorded this on the desktop, but typically the scientist would perform this walkthrough in virtual reality. And sorry?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, where was I? So typically the scientist would perform this walkthrough in virtual reality. I recorded it on the desktop so that you can better view it here. So what happens here is the scientist performs a walkthrough through an archaeological data set that was reconstructed with a 3D modeling software, Blender or so, I'm not sure. And then he wants to stop at a position and say, okay, I want a beauty shot here. I know head tracking will stop, but give me a beauty shot. So typical algorithm that we would use here is path tracing, which is, as you may know, implemented in Blender or in Maya or in 3ds Max. But for illustration purposes, this type of algorithm is quite similar. Once again, what you do is you shoot lots of rays through the image plane. And once again, you want to determine a final pixel color. And once again, you have lots of inherent parallelism over image pixels. But the algorithm is completely different, because what you now do is perform some Monte Carlo simulation, sample some fancy reflection distribution functions, flip coins to get random numbers, and so completely different algorithm, but same basic setting. And then what is possible is variations on this theme. So we have the same algorithm, say path tracing, but we want to have another primitive, one that custom software does not provide. Cylinders or freeform surfaces or so, depending on our application. And this is where Visionary comes in. Visionary implements a whole bunch of algorithms in a generic fashion, just like Boost or the STL does for a more general purpose. So does Visionary for ray tracing related kinds of problems. Visionary has a strong focus on real-time algorithms. So this means that the intrinsic algorithms that you implement are highly optimized, but it is not a necessity. You can also use Visionary to write offline rendering to generate those nice images, you know, for Maya or Blender. Let's have a look at one of the most basic concepts of Visionary. It's the scheduler and kernel concept. We talked, or I presented to you on one of the slides before, commonalities of the algorithms and dissimilarities of the algorithm. And the scheduler and kernel concept tackles exactly that. Schedulers are used to generate primary rays. You configure your scheduler with a virtual camera position, and then the scheduler will generate lots of primary rays, and depending on the hardware that the scheduler targets, this will be hopefully highly efficient. and in most cases in parallel. So and then when generating primary arrays, the scheduler will perform an algorithm, some type of algorithm, which will in most cases return a color or maybe some depth or something like that, but such a result. And then the scheduler will write the color to an something we call a render target, which is an output buffer which can be displayed can be directly displayed to the frame buffer, or which can be written to a file or so. And then on the other hand, we have kernels, which are meta algorithms. That is, we have a whole bunch of algorithms that Visionary implements, such as texture access, higher order texture access, ray acceleration structure traversal, ray primitive intersection, and then the user can construct meta algorithms we call that are called kernels. We call these meta algorithms kernels, and they are executed by the schedulers, and the schedulers write the final result. So this is you have your target hardware, GPUs, x86 CPUs or so, and then you write a scheduler, you have a scheduler for that type of hardware. And this is great, because then immediately all the algorithms that you have already implemented in the course before are immediately parallelized or optimized for that hardware. And this is great. When I started to work at the Institute 4 or 5 years ago, okay, I will keep it short. When I started to work at the Institute a few years ago, I should have it was my job to parallelize direct volume rendering, and then I parallelized it with a GPU program, then a few years later, it was my job to parallelize a path tracing algorithm, and then I had to do all the parallelization once again. Which was, if I could have written a Visionary kernel that day, it would have been great, because then I would simply just have retargeted the algorithm and used an existing scheduler. So let me give you a tiny example so that you have an idea of how this works. As I said, in Visionary, everything is a template. So is the most basic class in a ray tracing application, array. So it's basically just an origin position and a directional vector. And yeah, it's probably better. I'm not sure. Maybe it's. As I said, everything is a template, and by instantiating arrays with templates, what we say here is that we want to traverse single arrays. In ray tracing, in real-time ray tracing, a possible optimization is that you traverse multiple arrays at once to optimize the data path. And in that case, by just saying, for instance, by instantiating this template with a SIMD type, for instance, a float 4 or a float 8, then you would for free get packet traversal. SimpleSCHED is a scheduler, one of the schedulers I talked about before, and SimpleSCHED is the most basic scheduler that you can imagine. It just traverses the image plane and scan lines. It is not parallelized, but this is great for debugging because there are no parallel threads or so involved. And then we create an instance of the scheduler by passing it the virtual camera position and the aforementioned render target. And then we write a most simple ray tracing kernel. The ray tracing kernel in this case is a simple C++ functional, gets its first parameter a ray, the primary ray, that is created by the scheduler, and returns a color. A more advanced kernel would, in this case, in here, do some type of traversal with the ray, because this is the most basic kernel one can imagine. It returns only the color white, and that's it. I have to hurry a bit, so I think that I will skip A few slides. So there are lots of built-in kernels and schedulers, highly optimized, and some kernels implement, and the built-in kernels implement some of the mostly used algorithms. But in general, we expect our users to implement their own kernels. So they have this bunch of intrinsic algorithms, such as texture access, Ray, bounding volume hierarchy traversal, and so on, and all those templates. And we expect that most users will write their own kernels. There are a few built-in kernels that that deal with that mostly deal with surfaces. This is not a necessity. We have seen the volume rendering kernel from before. I think that I want to not go into so much detail with the following slide because it is. In general, those kernels can be retargeted. Our competitors typically have, only support triangles or so. Because it's, of course, an optimization. You have your ray tracer, and then you have lots of rays that take lots of fancy paths. And then you have, in your innermost loop in the ray tracer, when you write a classroom ray tracer or so, you have lots of V-table lookups that determine, is this a sphere? Is this a triangle? Is this a Bezier patch or so? Or is this some primitive that was loaded from a dynamic object or so? And this is, of course, a nightmare from an optimization standpoint. So what most of the other libraries that do ray tracing do is they say, okay, we support only triangles. And without wanting to go into the further details, we have means where we, on the one hand, perform the only triangle task very efficient, no dynamic branching in the innermost loops. But on the other hand, we have compile time mechanisms that can help you to have multiple types of primitives, custom primitives, and intersect them with rays in a very efficient way. For the details, I'd like to refer you to the examples that come with Vision Array. If you clone the Vision Array repository, you will get all those examples. There's volume rendering in there. There is an example to target to have simple ray tracing with multiple primitives, and there are different lots of other targets, examples. Then, if you clone Vision Array, you will also get a plugin for the virtual reality rendering software OpenCover, which is also open source. You can also download it from GitHub, and you can try if you've got an Oculus Rift. And I think you have to compile it with Windows, so drop me a line if you'd like to do so. Because it's, I think there are people that compiled OpenCover with Windows, but most people don't. And this is the end of my talk. And I'm happy to take your questions.
So we take two questions. Thank you very much. Questions for Stefan? Yes.
So you talked in detail about the scheduler being adapted to the specific platform you were using, like CUDA or FPGA. I was wondering, how do you tackle that for the kernels? Do they have specific implementations for every platform, or can you somehow cross-compile kernels that were written once to be able to compile onto an FPGA, on CUDA, on SSA, Intel?
Yeah, we expect that a kernel is written in C++11. So we require a surrounding framework that is at least compatible with C++11. For CUDA, this is the case. Other GPUs we want to target with SICL, the upcoming standard, or the already specified standard, which has no actual implementation. And if you want to target SSE, then of course you can do so because the Intel compiler or GCC implements the C++11 standard. But you can't write your kernels in OpenCL or so. FPGAs are a different thing. We are working on this. There is, from a company, Xilinx, they've got a tool. You can write a C++11 code in a high-level synthesis language, which is complicated and will probably not work out the way we expected because there are porting to an FPGA is a completely different beast compared to a GPGPU. So leaving this out by saying, okay, kernels are C++ 11 code, C++ 11 plus. Maybe in a few years, don't know. Right at the time, it is C++ 11. And if you can stick with this, then we can, with those with scheduler support, C++ 11, then it's just fine.
Okay. So one more question, if there is. Not for now. So Stefan, you will be around, no?
Yeah.
So ask questions when you find him in the hallways. Thank you very much.